so much hair for a newborn. We need to start planning his baptism and his holiday outfit and, ooh, his birthday party.
Sure, but, how long are you planning to stay?
If you're one of those who goes to meet your newborn nephew and stays until his first birthday party, switch to Cricket Wireless. Use your phone as many days as you want in Mexico without extra cost. Smile. You're on Cricket. Requires eligible plan. Minimum $55 per month. Data speed usage and other restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. See store for details.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are so pleased you're with us. Tonight, we're going to do something special. We are going to have a radio play. Now, this is not just any radio play. This is a play that the author is someone we're very familiar with. It's Pastor Charles Lyons. This is an interesting play. It's titled Good Clothes, Poor Clothes. Now, I don't think Pastor Charles has ever been in a haberdashery. How do you like that word? However, he apparently has some ideas about clothing. No, it's not about clothing per se, but it's about perception. And I think tonight, as you listen to this, you're going to enjoy how it makes you feel. And so, Pastor, could I ask you, as you were building this play, and I think it must have been several years in the making, this is not some one day you woke up and said, I think I'm going to write a play. You have been the author of many papers, books. You've written a couple of books that I've had the pleasure of reading. How long was this ruminating, and how long did it take to germinate? I'm using any word that ends with eight. So
how did this come about? That, yes.
How did this come about, and how many years in the making, and was there a central theme? Was there something you wanted to communicate that had not been communicated before? Pastor?
Well, that's pretty good. I think you managed to get about seven questions into one, so that was clever. I'm going to take you in reverse sequence, but let me first of all just welcome everybody to the broadcast today. I'm very thankful that we have this time together, and I hope you will enjoy this. I've always been a fan of radio plays. What I love about radio plays especially is the level of creativity shifts. Now, there's a lot of responsibility on the director or producer, whatever you want to call them, that as they put this thing together, the sound effects. But what I love is normally nowadays you go to watch a movie and it's tons of special effects and you just sit back and feel the excitement and you sort of sit there saying, okay, go ahead, entertain me, thrill me, I dare you, you know. But with the radio, it's a very different magical moment because, you see, we put out the nuggets for you and then your imagination takes over. If you think about it this way, on the movie, on a TV program, you see the actors, actresses, you know precisely what they look at. There's no imagination. But in radio, you hear the character and you begin imagining, you know, I've got a friend that would have talked like that. I have this relative that they're just like that. And you begin substituting the characters for people you know habitually. And so they become this collection of people in your head. And you sort of live the moment with them at a different level because you're creating the atmosphere. We'll just put the ideas out there. We'll give you some sound effects. But mainly, they will be your characters. So I think that's sort of interesting. Jim started off with his statement about a haberdashery. I almost broke into laughter because one of my first jobs was in the men's accessories department at the Heck Company in the greater Washington, D.C. area. So. Yes, good old Prince George's County at PG Mall. That's, well, actually at the time it was a plaza, later became a mall. But no, so I guess I never thought of that before, but you were pretty close. But these are the things that actually I was at Landover Mall and then went to PG, but I digress. The point being that, you know, there was a nugget maybe sown back in then. And then you asked about the years of development and preparation getting into this. No, I woke up one morning and said, boy, let's do a radio play because I've always wanted to do one. And so
wow.
No, it's like every worst suggestion you had out there, that's what I was doing. Jim, I'm going to turn it back to you and ask if you'd be kind enough to open us in prayer. So we'll start off the right way, and then I'm going to get right back to you.
Sounds good. Heavenly Father, what a privilege, what an honor it is to study your word, Father. And I pray as we listen to this play that Pastor Charles has written, that we would not just listen to it for entertainment, but as he said, to pick up those nuggets, what you're trying to teach us by inspiring Pastor Charles when he wrote this. Father, please superintend this program because our intention has never changed. That is to serve you, to go to the uttermost parts of the world and talk about and spread the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you have created a plan of salvation that gives us an opportunity to participate. We love you, Father. We thank you for the hereafter that we're looking forward to, where you told us when we stepped out and accepted Jesus Christ, we became your children, and as such, will inherit the kingdom. We didn't deserve it, but because of your grace, you have given us hope, given us an opportunity to participate. Lord, we love you. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jim, for doing that for us. But getting back, no, it really was something that I just always wanted to do. And this particular theme is what sort of set the stage, allowed it to come to life for me. I was reading from the book of James and found these incredible passages. If you have not spent time in the book of James, you need to. They are powerful, they are comforting, but they also challenge us. They are what I call meat and potatoes gospel, because these are passages that will challenge you, like, what am I doing? And, you know, am I just doing it for the outward appearance? Am I just doing it because this is what I've seen other Christians do, so it must be right? You know, there's a certain degree of that maybe lays a good foundation to get started. But as you grow mm-hmm. in your faith, you want to get into the word for yourself and see what does it say to do. And so right. What I was looking at is that person when they come into the church, and James deals with this straightforward, because at that church he was writing to, that's precisely what people were doing, is that they would come in, and if you looked very well and prosperous, well, you got positioned down front where you got the best seat in the house. You could see what was going on. And if you looked a little tattered and worn, and maybe you'd had a rough life, they put you in the back. They didn't want to have to actually look at you. And that sounds like, oh, how bizarre, that doesn't happen. Well, then it dawned on me, don't we do that? Somebody who's high profile, somebody who's a celebrity, if they're going to be at church Sunday, we wouldn't just give them the front seat. I mean, we'd be taking out ads on radio and TV and letting people know, erecting billboards saying, hey, so-and-so is going to be in church Sunday. And
right.
Likewise, the guy who comes in off the street, he'd be lucky if we let him in the building and didn't call security. So it's those things that we have been influenced by the world, where worldly success we put up on the platform, and those who are just having a difficult time, we don't want to be seen. We push them away. We pretend they don't exist. And so, in a sense, that's what the message of the play is. Do we take our guards down and allow ourselves to live the Christian life sincerely, even if that means sometimes it's a little uncomfortable? And so that's the idea of the play, is to take a fresh look at James in light of how do I live every day. And so you're going to meet two gentlemen in the play who have come from, you know, very similar backgrounds and suddenly confronted with life. And how do they handle that? And so that's a wonderful thing. They really walk along. You know, something else, Jim, and I realize I'm probably talking too much, forgive me, but one of the things that I found God's hand in this play is when we began to record it. What people may not realize is that we recorded every voice individually. So, in other words, we didn't get up on a big stage and have everybody come up with holding scripts and reading them. No, I had them come, sit down, and I put a microphone in front of them and had them read their lines. I then took all these recordings and then sat down on the computer and assembled the play with all of those. So everybody on there were people that I knew. I needed one female voice that I couldn't seem to find. It's like I had the voices in my head, and I knew this person would be good and this person would do that. So this one female voice, I finally went and got paid talent for that one part, and they agreed to do it for the incredible sum of $5, because it turns out they volunteered with helping people who were on the streets and homeless, and they were thrilled to do that part. So I really saw God's hand, and especially when you hear how the voices inflect back and forth, it's like they're sitting together having the conversation. But in fact, when they were recorded, they weren't even in the same room or at the same time. It was spread over weeks doing those recordings.
Interesting. Well, you know, what strikes me about this is I think that technique of recording this and then putting it together, I believe that's where Steven Spielberg got that idea, is from you, how to put this together. But what occurs to me is, as you were doing this, now I am a very teeny, leany, little bitty author. I author a newsletter and occasionally have to write for certain neighborhood situations. And I agonize over every word. I cannot sit down and even write a paragraph that I don't drives me nuts, hoping that every word is correct. How did you deal with that with a play like this, where it's a lot longer? And did you ruminate on every word, and did you come back and change things? What was the day-to-day activity, and how long did it take you?
Well, I actually wrote the play probably over a period of a month. The reason, I mean, there was a basic shell or outline I developed for it. But then what became exciting with it, as I say, when I looked for a character for the play, I tried to think of somebody that I knew and tried to think of how would they answer, what would there be their reaction. So really, all the characters of the play, in a sense, wrote the play, because I knew just about everybody except for that one voice. And so, you know, I could picture them speaking it, saying it, because I thought, well, and given this situation, if I drop them in there, how would they react? What would be their response? And so, you know, bear that in mind when you listen to it, Jim, because you're in the play, that I really sort of thought that would be your reaction. That's what you would have said.
I'm not the female voice, right?
No, that's true. You're the jackhammer in the background during the construction scene. But no, actually, my credits go out, by the way, to Shipley's Donuts. Not because they supplied us with donuts during the recording, but because it was their little doorbell that they had in their shop not far from us, that when I went in the morning, went out, I was trying to find the right sound for this little bell in a restaurant, and it was their bell that came to mind. So I got their permission and went in there and actually recorded their door opening and closing for a little while to have a good sampling of it. Jim, we believe it or not, we're starting to run out of time. Now, that does not mean the program is over. It does mean we're just about ready to start the radio play. So to all of our listeners, we hope that you will enjoy this. I suggest you get your cup of coffee right now and sit down and relax, maybe a cup of iced tea, just depending what it's like wherever you're at. And we hope you enjoy this radio play. We hope that you'll find something relatable and a blessing. And hope again, as always, you'll join us next week on Ask the Pastor Now.
The Ask the Pastor radio players are happy to present an original play to glorify God. Tonight's production is Good Clothes, Poor Clothes, an original play by Charles Lyons, inspired by a lesson from the Book of James. The Book of James is a special book, Why? Because it is so incredibly practical. Some books of the Bible tell you about a meeting, about a person, about how we should live. But James gets right to the point about how we should deal with others, even other Christians. James makes you think. Take James 2, 1 through 10, for example. Here we find that when people come to church, sometimes they get treated differently. What do I mean? Well, let me tell you. On second thought, let you find out for yourself. While you're figuring this out, let me also introduce you to two men, Tom and Jeff. These guys met up at a coffee shop one morning about 2 years ago. The place was busy. They got to talking and drinking coffee, and off and on each Monday, they are still meeting and still talking.
Well, good morning, Jeff. How was the weekend?
Totally fantastic. Great attendance, fantastic choir. The preaching reached people, and best of all, we saw three people saved. What a way to start the week.
That's nice. We had a good Sunday, too.
Tom, you always amaze me. I didn't say good. I said great. Lives were changed, people saved, homes were made stronger. And did I mention lives were changed?
I know. It's the same each week with you.
Now, if by the same you mean that I get excited by seeing God at work in the body of Christ, you are absolutely right. Tom, I know you're saved.
Of course I'm saved. What do you think? I'm some liberal? I'm an American. I'm very religious.
I know. In fact, I know you believe the Bible. What I don't understand is why you don't seem excited about it.
Now, there you start to lose me again. I always enjoy talking with you. I enjoy how you look at things. But why can't I just go to church, listen to the music, sit through the preaching, and live my life without having to have a big silly grin? It may work for you, but do I really have to jump up and down just to be a Christian?
You know, I don't need you to jump up and down. I do think you go to church, but don't get church.
Okay, I'll bite. What's the difference between going and getting?
Well, did I ever tell you about the Jewish businessman who sent his son to Israel for a year to absorb the culture?
Oh, great. Here we go again. I ask simple question, and I get one of your stories.
Oh, as I was saying, when the son returned from Israel, he said, "Papa, I had a great time in Israel. By the way, I converted to Christianity." "Oy vey," said the father. "What have I done?" He took his problem to his best friend, Ike. "Ike," he said, "I sent my son to Israel, and he came home a Christian. What can I do?" "Funny you should ask," said Ike. "I, too, sent my son to Israel, and he also come home a Christian. Perhaps we should go see the rabbi." They explained their problem to the rabbi. "Funny you should ask," said the rabbi. "I, too, sent my son to Israel, and he also came home a Christian. What is happening to our young people?" They prayed, telling the Lord about their sons. As they finished their prayer, a voice came down from the heavens. "Funny you should ask," said the voice. "I too sent my son to Israel."
Okay. I almost get your point. And the crowd went wild. But actually, Jeff, I really don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, I mean that when you really get church, it changes you. You're saved, you're going to heaven. But you don't seem to enjoy your faith. It's like you still haven't got a hold of what or who got a hold of you.
You mean Jesus?
I mean more than that. I mean, stop and think about you. You become what you became, a Christian. You're now a joint heir with Christ. You're somebody important to God.
Look, I appreciate what you're saying. And yes, I know that I'm going to heaven. I just don't see why I need to get so worked up about it each week. But frankly, speaking of work, that's exactly where I need to go.
Okay, but I hope you will think on it. You know, remembering each day who you are in Christ will help you look at life, at people, and at yourself in a different way.
I know. We have talked about this before. Many pots of coffee before. And if I know you, we will talk about it again. Now, have a great day. I'm sure you will.
Tom, I always look for God in the moments of life. Sometimes those moments are tough. But you're right about two things. First, I will have a great day. And secondly, we will talk about this again. So see you next week. Have a great day.
Well, Tom has had a busy week, and even if he is not as pumped up as Jeff, it is Sunday morning, and Jeff is at his usual pew, in his usual spot, getting ready to sit through the sermon.
It is good to be in the house of worship this morning. And before I begin, I have a very special announcement for everyone. Our church, as everyone knows, is special. And next week, we're going to have a really special opportunity. If you're a sports fan, you know the name of Rockin' Randy, the great baseball player. Many of you may not know that he is a religious man. Next week, he and his team are playing in our city. And come Sunday, he's going to join us to talk about his relationship with God. And of course, he'll tell us what it's like to play in the major leagues. So be sure to invite your friends next week. I know everybody will want to hear from Rockin' Randy. Now let's get into our study. It's in the Old Testament. The prophet Daniel writes.
Wow, I can't believe it. Rockin' Randy here next week. I wonder if I can get his autograph. That is going to be exciting.
Hard to believe, but it is Monday morning already, and Tom is excited to get to the coffee shop and share the news. A celebrity, a sports celebrity, is coming to his church next Sunday. Now that's a real reason to be excited, right?
Tom, as always, it's great to see you.
You better believe it. Have I got news for you?
Well, this is something. You're all pumped up, and before you've had your coffee, this must be something special.
Oh, please. Enough with that. I've got exciting news. Rocket Randy is going to be at church Sunday.
That's nice. The baseball player?
That's nice? That's all you can say? And, of course, I mean the baseball player. Who did you think?
Well, I thought you usually have music and preaching, that kind of stuff on Sunday at your church. Do you normally play baseball at church?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course we don't. You're not hearing me. Rockin' Randy is going to be speaking at my church Sunday.
Oh, well, don't get me wrong. I'm happy you're finally excited about being at church, but I didn't even know Rockin' Randy was saved.
Of course. He's religious. But he will talk about more than just that. This is Rockin' Randy, for goodness sakes.
Oh, well, that is good. But I'm more excited by a great faith in Christ than a home run.
Jeff, sometimes you just don't get it. This is a chance to hear Rockin' Randy in person. And as far as church goes, this should make you happy. Think about how many people will come to hear Rockin' Randy talk.
Think about how many lost people who will be there and could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ presented.
Jeff, I don't think you're getting just how exciting this is.
It has been a long week for Tom, like a child waiting for Christmas morning. Now it's Sunday, and Tom still has to wait to meet Rockin' Randy while he sits through Bible study class. Let's join him as the Bible study teacher finishes up.
That's right. In James chapter 2, verse 1, we are taught not to treat other Christians, other people, differently. It is not that we are rude to guests, very much the opposite. But here is what we're talking about. In the church, a rich man, a famous man, someone that people were really impressed by, would come in and they were immediately escorted to the front, given the best seat, the best spot, a place of honor where not only could they see well, but so others could see them. And then when a poor man or woman came in, someone nobody knew or even wanted to know came in, they got put in the back. Sometimes they didn't even get a seat, just sit there on the floor. Now I ask you, do you think that that would honor God? Would that be Christ-like?
Well, that would seem clear enough,
Unfortunately, it looks like Tom was thinking more about the time than the lesson. He just jumped up when the class ended and started heading for the sanctuary. I guess he doesn't want to miss Rockin' Randy. The service is just about to start, and Tom is excited and frustrated. Why frustrated? Because he just got snagged by the head usher who wants him to help with seating the visitors. You see, Tom was right. There is a big turnout.
Good morning, Tom. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too, but I'm in kind of a rush. I want to get a seat up close so I can see Rockin' Randy. This is going to be great.
Oh, I agree with you. This is a great crowd. Great turnout, and a great opportunity for you too, Tom.
For me? What do you mean?
We sure could use your help. This many visitors, we're shorthanded, and you could help get everybody, especially the visitors, seated.
Yes, but...
Yes, that's what I was hoping to hear.
Now, that's not what I meant.
I know what you're thinking, Tom. I haven't done this before, but that yes attitude of yours will take you a long way. In fact, why don't we just take you and your yes way over there at that door? You can start sitting people right away.
Oh, great.
I knew you'd feel that way. Great is the word for it. Now, you just have to remember a couple of things. We found out we're going to have someone from the news here this morning. Just make certain that they get a good spot. Put our best and sharpest looking people up front. And watch out for some of those street people.
Street people? What street people?
Oh, every service they come in trying to find a place to camp out. We have to be careful, especially with the press here. We want the church to look good, you know. And now, go on, get lots of people coming in.
Well, things are getting started, but not exactly as Tom had planned. As Tom is standing in the lobby, his mind is in the front few rows of the sanctuary. He wants to be there, but it seems God has him here for a reason.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Yes, right that way. Good morning. Welcome. Yes, there are plenty of seats, but the ones up front are starting to fill up. Perhaps you would want to sit over here.
Tom is doing well, but his heart is not into filling up that front area very much. He knows his seat could disappear at any moment, and if that isn't bad enough, here comes one of those homeless-looking people. The crowd drops off at his door as the tired, ragged man approaches Tom. Seems others don't want to be too close to this stranger.
Good morning. Can I help you?
I saw you have a great turnout. Seems like something good is about to start.
Yes, we're about to have church. You go to church anywhere around here? You don't want to be late, do you?
I don't have a regular church, if that's what you mean. But I love Jesus. When I was a young boy, I always went to Sunday school with a neighbor of mine. In fact, a while back, I accepted Jesus into my heart.
That's nice, but like I said, we're just about to start, and I know you don't want to be late for your service.
Look, I know I don't look so good. I know you're trying to be nice about it. But I know Jesus, and I was hoping I could sit in the service and hear the Bible taught, hear God's people sing the great hymns. I just want to come and worship. I don't want to bother no one. It's just been a long time since I could be in church.
Look, you're right. You don't look so good. Honestly, you don't smell that good, and we have a lot of important people here this morning.
I understand. I was just hoping I could feel like I used to when I was a young boy. Life's been hard.
I shouldn't do this, but if you sit here in the back along the wall, well, that should be okay. But you need to leave after the service ends.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot.
Tom seems to be getting a disappointed look from the head usher, Bob, but he was getting even more disappointed with himself. Deep down, he was feeling miserable about not letting the man in. Maybe Tom was starting to experience a good change. Well, it is Monday morning and the start of a new week. Tommy's going into the week a little worse for wear, a little less sleep from his Sunday experience as he kept replaying the images of the encounter with the homeless man and even Bob, the head usher. Sometimes he felt like the whole congregation was staring at him, waiting for action. Other times, all he could see in his mind were the eyes of the homeless man calling out for help and compassion. However, Monday has arrived, and like so many of us, he packs up his emotional baggage and heads off to work. Along the way, he sees Jeff at the coffee shop and stops in for a word of encouragement.
Good morning, Jeff. How was your weekend?
Really fantastic, Tom. It was so exciting to see how God has blessed our church family. A man I had been praying for over the past 6 months came forward and accepted the Lord. I was so amazed. I met with him on Saturday and tried to talk to him about Christ. I could tell God was working on him, but we didn't seem to be connecting. I went home frustrated, and yet God saved him yesterday at church.
That is great news. I know you must be very pleased. Yet, when I think about your experience on Saturday, I wonder why we have to get so frustrated. I mean, you say the right things, and still, sometimes, people just don't seem to get it.
I don't know for sure, but I suspect there was a battle going on inside of him. I was struggling to share the gospel and get an answer from the outside. Yet it was God who was already at work in his heart on the inside. At best, I could only see the outside, so I left feeling frustrated. God knew the heart of the man. That was what was important. However, forgive me. I know that you were all excited going into this weekend. Now, how was church, and did you get to meet Rockin' Randy?
Church was good. Rockin' Randy was there, too.
And? Was that it? Church was good and Rockin' Randy was there too? Am I missing something?
Not really. I mean, Rockin' Randy was there and everybody seemed to really get a lot out of...
Well, fine, but what about you? You were waiting up for this and you were totally pumped up about it last week. Did something happen? What was it?
No, everything was great. It just went different than I planned. Like when I came into the lobby, I got snatched to be an usher. Though not really an usher... It was more of a doorman. It didn't take long to realize I was the one that wasn't going to get seated. Then, as if that wasn't enough, up comes this homeless guy. He wasn't supposed to be there.
Not supposed to be there? I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, they have a problem with that sort of thing at that church. Homeless people, I mean. He wasn't supposed to come in. After all, we had a lot of important guests there.
More important than a man on the street?
I knew you wouldn't understand. It's just a policy at that church. Policies are important. They are designed to make everything run smooth.
Tom, can I ask you a question? Not about the homeless man.
Please do. Anything but the homeless man.
Why do you call it that church? Why not your church?
I really hadn't noticed that I do that. But I have to tell you something. When I was staring at the homeless man, when I suggested that he go somewhere else, it sure didn't feel like my church. It didn't feel like something I wanted to be a part of.
What did you do?
I took charge. I found him a nice place where he could come in and feel like he was part of the service.
I'm glad, Tom. That was the right thing to do. You know, it reminds me of the story about the big burly man that visited the pastor's home and asked to see the minister's wife.
Jeff, I'm really not in the mood for one of your stories.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind. So, as I was saying, the minister's wife was well known for her charitable impulses. Now, the big burly man said in a broken voice, "Madam, I wish to draw your attention to the terrible plight of a poor family in this district. The father's dead, the mother's too ill to work, and the 9 children are starving. They're about to be turned out into the cold, empty streets unless someone pays their rent, which amounts to $400. "How terrible," exclaimed the preacher's wife. "May I ask who you are?" The sympathetic visitor applied his handkerchief to his eyes. "I'm the landlord," he sobbed.
Okay. You got your joke in again.
Oh, it's more than a joke. It's a comment about you. You know, most people would have gone by policy, but you went by your heart. I've considered you a friend and a brother in Christ for a couple of years now. I've never been more proud of you, Tom. You did the right thing.
Well, thanks, but it seems I'm always running late. I need to get to work. See you next week.
Okay, but just remember, what you did matters. God bless you and have a great week.
Tom has had a very difficult time this week. It is Thursday and he is still troubled. Troubled about this past Sunday. Troubled about the homeless man. Troubled about the look on the face of the usher. And really troubled about what he said to Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. It's me, Tom. Have you got a moment?
Of course, Tom. Is everything okay? You just don't call that often.
No, it's not all right. I'm troubled. I'm upset. And I need your advice.
Okay. Now, two guys are walking down the street.
Please, Jeff, no. Not this time. I'm serious. I really need your help.
Sorry, Tom. You know, you do sound upset. How can I help?
I'm upset about this past weekend, about the homeless man, my church, and especially about lying to you. You're a good friend.
What do you mean you lied?
At church, I wasn't supposed to let that homeless guy come in. But I did, but not like I told you. I talked down to him. I treated him like something less than a man. I had him sit in the back and told him that he would need to leave right afterwards. I have felt sick ever since. I was wrong to lie to you. Please forgive me, Jeff. Jeff, what's wrong with me?
Part of me understands that you were troubled, in an awkward position, frustrated, not at getting to see your hero, Rockin' Randy, and you were not comfortable confronting a homeless person.
Exactly. I'm glad you understand.
But on the other hand, I believe you were right to have him come in. Wrong in the way you treated him, and wrong in the way you left it.
So much for understanding. Thanks.
No, I'm serious, Tom. It sounds like you gave in to having this man come in, not because you were doing what was right, but because of guilt. Guilt that inside you knew to do anything else would make you feel even worse.
Well, you have that part right. But, Jeff, what I don't understand is that I did let him in, yet I still don't feel good about myself or what I did.
I know. You have to realize that doing half of what is right is like doing something half wrong. Tom, let me ask you a question or something. If you told someone most of the truth, but you kept something back, something important, would you have been truthful, or since you knew the listener would get the wrong idea, would you be guilty of lying?
Well, I guess since you mislead them by your silence, that would be a lie.
Exactly. Now, here's what you have to understand. When you let the man in, you were doing it half right. However, when you treated him less than, you were holding him back. You were misleading him. In a way, you were lying to him and to yourself.
What do you mean, lying to myself?
By letting him in, you were telling yourself that you were doing the right thing. You were telling yourself that you were being Christ-like. But is that really what Christ would do?
I don't believe that he would do it like I did it.
Exactly. You wanted to do the right thing, but your fear of what others would think kept you from taking it all the way. You have to remember, stopping short of doing all that God wants us to do is not doing what God wants us to do. That is why you couldn't and don't feel right about what you did.
I see what you mean. What I don't see is what I can do about it now.
You know, I believe you're a good man. I believe you want to please God. I even believe you'll know what to do. What waits to be seen is if you have the courage to be the man God wants you to be.
I wish I had your faith, not just in God, but in me. I've been thinking all week about what I should have done, what I need to do, but I'm not sure if I'm the man God needs for this moment.
Now, Tom, trust me on this, and especially trust God with this. When we are in a difficult moment, even when we are convinced someone else could handle it so much better, If we're the Christian God has there, at that moment, we are the ones he will use.
Tom has struggled and fortunately prayed about his actions. He has labored in prayer over how he responded to the homeless man, to others, and even the feelings inside. After all, God knows the heart of a man. Now the question for Tom is what his next step should be. It's Friday, mid-morning, as Tom is on his way to work, walking down the street full of people. Suddenly, he meets up with the homeless man.
Hey, it's great to see you again.
Really? I thought you'd be very displeased to see me again, anywhere, not just in your church.
I had that coming. God has been dealing with me about Sunday, especially after the way that I treated you.
Whatever do you mean? Besides, don't worry about it. I'm used to it. In fact, you were nicer than most people.
I don't know about that, but I do know that treating you like others may have doesn't make it right. I'm no better than you. I don't know how you came to be on the streets. To be honest, it could just as easily been me. This is what I do know. I need your forgiveness. What I did was wrong.
Well, thanks for that. I haven't always lived like this. I just wish people would realize it. I don't believe anything in my life is going to change. I don't see it getting any better. But when people treat me like I'm a little less than nothing, well, that's about the way I feel. Anyway, don't worry about me. I won't bother you anymore.
You already bother me. What I did was wrong. I want to believe my church and I are better than the way we treated you. I know God is better than that. I would really like it if you would come with me this weekend to church.
Why? Don't you like sitting up front? And besides, what would your friends think? You being seen with a homeless man, somebody who lives on the streets.
I hope they will think nothing more than what can they do to make you feel welcome. But I can't say that they will. Last week, I wouldn't have. As for where we sit, we can sit anywhere there's a seat.
Well, it seems that Tom has been doing some growing. Looks like he is taking some steps, not only to do what's right, but taking steps to make things right. I wonder how things will go Sunday. Welcome to Monday, and more importantly, the Monday after Tom went to church with his guest, the homeless man. How do you suppose it went? I see Jeff is already there having coffee, and Tom is just arriving. Let's go find out for ourselves.
Tom, great to see you. How was your weekend?
Much better than last time, although I may be just one of two people who feel that way.
One of two? What do you mean by that?
I mean, this time the homeless man was a bit uncomfortable, but he was there as my guest. I was there confident that this time I was committed to doing the right thing. And this time, well, this time it was everyone else that felt awkward.
I see. You mean you were the only person that felt good about the homeless man being there.
Okay, Jeff, don't start with me. I told you it went much better. It went well, really well. The homeless man had to have felt good, especially if you had been there and seen how well I treated him. I felt good about it. Some of the people in the church even spoke to him. I did the right thing, and that is all that matters.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're pleased with yourself.
I said don't start. What do you mean by that business, I should be pleased?
Well, you've made the grand gesture. You brought the homeless man into your church just like he was a real person. I can just see you taking him right up front.
Exactly. If he wanted to sit in the front, he could.
I can just see you with your head held high, daring anyone to interfere with you or your guest.
That's right. Nobody was going to stop me this week.
That's right. Nobody was going to stop you from feeling better about yourself, regardless of how the homeless man felt.
Exactly. That's right. Wait. No, that's not right. I did all this for him.
Oh, really? I thought you did it so you would feel better. I thought you did it so you could show the world you were good enough to be seen with a homeless man and go anywhere you want.
Sometimes you really get me upset.
You mean like when I'm right?
Exactly. No, that's not what I meant. I just mean I did the right thing and I would do it again. Sometimes a man just has to do what a man has to do.
Would you like me to tell you what you should do?
No. I know what I have to do. I have to go to work. Now, have a blessed day.
Well, the celebration didn't seem so happy as anticipated. It was almost like doing the right thing takes more than action. It takes the right reason for the action. The morning has gone by for Tom, and he has been processing his feelings and the conversation he had with Jeff. He didn't like the conversation. He didn't like what Jeff said, but he knew that Jeff was a godly man. Jeff was one of those few men that could have said the things he said, and maybe one of the few in his life that cared enough to say what had to be said. Well, anyway, Tom has had a good lunch with his office workers, and he is on the way back to the office. As they exit onto the street, and look who is on the street. Begging. Someone he knows. Someone he went to church with yesterday.
Oh, great. This is ridiculous. The city needs to do something about this. You try to get out and have a nice meal, then go for a brisk walk as you return to work to earn a living. Then what happens? You're barely out of the door of a nice restaurant, and you have to get hustled by some bum on the street.
Don't call him a bum. Anybody can fall on hard times.
Don't call him a bum. What do you think he is? He's just a lazy bum hustling you for your hard-earned money. Why doesn't he get a job and work for a living rather than hassling decent people?
Because maybe at this time, that is the best he can do. Maybe something happened in his life. Besides, if he came into your office today, would you hire him?
Are you kidding? I wouldn't hire him. I would disinfect him and then call security.
Hi, Tom. How's your day going?
Well, I'm doing well. And you?
It's another day, and I'm not alone. I have God, and I have someone like you who's not afraid of me or ashamed of me. That really means something.
Excuse me, Tom. I didn't mean to interrupt a reunion. Is this an old friend from college?
Oh, him. I don't really know him. I just think everybody should be treated with respect. It's the right thing to do. Come on, let's get back to the office.
As Tom and his co-workers head back to the office, he looks over his shoulder and sees the homeless man. To his surprise, the homeless man does not seem angry or mad. He sees his face, and for the first time, he sees those eyes with crystal clarity, and he looks crushed. He sees him, and as he looks at him, he appears more alone than he ever did before, and Tom feels worse than he ever has before. Well, it seems that there have been some serious changes going on in Tom's life. Best of all, some growth, Christ-like growth. Tom didn't sleep well last night as his conscience, his heart, and God wrestled through the night. However, by morning, God had made Tom a better, stronger man. Tom and Jeff are in the coffee shop this morning, and Tom is stronger and better. He is growing.
Jeff, for a change, I have a story for you. It's about a man who could not sleep well at all. He tossed, he turned, he wrestled with God.
Oh, I know this one. You're talking about the account in Genesis 32 when Jacob wrestled with God, right?
No, I'm talking about me. Me, after I finally came to grip with how self-righteous I had become. Me, who came to realize that just when I thought I was treating my fellow man, even one living on the street, better, I was actually embarrassed to be seen with him. I denied him and went back to my office feeling more worthless than ever before.
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 25:40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as if you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." In other words, what we are willing to do for the least appreciated in society is a way of communicating or demonstrating how we would treat Jesus if we saw him on the street. You know, not only that, but a few verses later in verse 45, the Bible says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." In other words, when we get it right, we're doing it to God. When we get it wrong, we're doing it wrong to God.
I learned that yesterday and last night, the hard way. Maybe I am slow, but one thing I do know, I understand more about me and God than I did when I started. I am loved, and it is time I start loving others more and me less.
Tom, I hope you realize when we love others more, we are easier to be loved, easier to bless others, and easier for God to use us for His good pleasure.
Thanks for understanding and speaking straight with me these past few weeks. I know it wasn't easy for you to do what was right, but I am so glad you did.
Well, you know, we are brothers in Christ. Many people today don't understand that concept. However, as believers, we need to grasp it, understand it, and practice it for the body of Christ to grow.
Well, thanks again for your patience and understanding. Now, if you'd be good enough to pass me the salt and pepper shaker, I would appreciate it.
Tom, you're drinking coffee. What do you need salt and pepper for?
As you were talking, I have been looking out the window onto the street. I see that while we've been talking, my friend and brother, the homeless man, is back on the street outside this coffee shop. If I'm a real Christian, I need to eat crow, swallow my pride, and go and ask his forgiveness. I was hoping the crow and pride might just taste a little bit better with a little salt and pepper.
Well, perhaps, but I find when I have to eat crow, it goes down better with grace. So I will pray for you while you get knife, fork, and humility ready.
I appreciate that. Now, if you will excuse me, I need to step outside for a moment. Good morning. Can you spare a moment?
Good morning to you. Can you spare some change?
I can spare some change. Can you spare some forgiveness to an imperfect man?
There's a lot of that going around today.
You mean a lot of grace?
No, I mean a lot of imperfect men and women. Most of them too busy with their day. Such people are too concerned about what others will think of them than to take a moment and talk to someone like me on the streets.
You're right. Very right. In fact, I've been one of those people. But God has been working with me. I guess of all the things you could call me, I hope you will call me a work in progress.
We all change. On a good day, we all grow. What is it that you want?
I would appreciate your forgiveness for my foolishness yesterday. I would appreciate your taking a break from your present activity and joining my other friend inside for a cup of coffee.
I see you standing here. I see your friend inside. Who is this other friend you're talking about?
As I've said before, I had that coming. I would like to count you a friend. And if you and God can be patient, perhaps I can be a friend to you.
My experience with God is that He is extremely patient. My experience with me is like you. I'm still a work in progress. Is that offer for coffee still good?
Of course. Let's go in.
Well, good morning. Have a seat. I'm Jeff. Can I get you some coffee?
That would be nice. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, let me introduce to you a very patient man. He has been waiting for me to grow up the last few weeks.
Actually, Jeff, God's been working in my life, too. It's not as easy as it might look to be on the streets. I know it may seem glamorous meeting people all day, the excitement of getting outdoors in all kinds of weather, rather than being stuck in an office. And of course, the atmosphere of the streets is really exciting when the sun goes down. But that doesn't mean that a man can't still carry hurt, disappointment, and his own set of prejudice with him. The problem is that bitterness makes a lousy companion. But grace, the amazing grace of God, is a comfort, especially on the streets. You may not know this, but I have been a Christian for some time now. I actually got saved while I was on the streets.
I didn't know that.
You didn't ask that. What about you? I know you go to church, but do you really know Jesus?
Of course I know Jesus. I do go to church. In fact, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm learning to know Him better. That is the better part of a man's faith. Fire insurance against eternal judgment is great, but knowing God is much better. Building a real relationship with Him and this family, the body of Christ, at least for me, that seems even better. In truth, it is sweeter.
I have to admit, I agree with you. Tom, you never asked me, but this man is not a stranger to me. We have met before, prayed before, and I have high hopes for his situation to improve.
Why didn't you say something before?
Because, first of all, I believed you are a godly man and that God would grow you. I believed he could use our friendship and brother to help you grow as well. Finally, I think I can explain it best with one of my famous stories. You see, there were these three birds on a tree branch.
You are right. I do know you. In fact, I do know your stories. And I can't sit here all day. I have places to go, things to do, and people to see.
You do?
Oh, please, get real. But do you really want to hear another one of Jeff's stories?
We are brothers. Sorry, Jeff. We both have to go. You know, places to go, people to see, and things to do.
You two are a tough audience. I don't know if I can keep working this room. Nonetheless, you know, I pray that both of you have a blessed day.
Well, thanks for becoming my friend, my brother in Christ, and showing me grace.
That's okay. I hope you'll remember me that way. Maybe Jeff is right. Maybe things will turn around for me. Either way, my faith is strong, and God's grace is sufficient for even me.
I'm so glad for that. Glad that God is patient and comforting. By the way, before I go, I just realized I don't even know your name. What is it?
Does it matter? Anyone, and I mean anyone you know, could become homeless given the time and the wrong set of circumstances. What matters most is how we deal with those moments. How much we let God into those moments of our life. And, oh, by the way, one last thing. Thanks for the coffee.
Thank you so much for listening. The radio play Good Clothes, Poor Clothes is an original production of Right Lines in association with the Ask the Pastor radio program and was written by Charles Lyons. The part of Tom was played by James Simmons. Jeff was played by Charles Lyons. Pastor Larry was played by Jerry Martino. The Bible teacher by Scott M. Bress. Head usher Bob by Jess Crocker. The homeless man by John Mills. The co-worker by Kara Lee. And the announcer by your host tonight, Joel Ward. This has been a Right Lines production. The play is copyrighted, and although duplication is prohibited, individual audio recordings are available through the rightlines.com website.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray. pray and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
With Domino's Hotspots, you can get pizza delivered to locations like parks, beaches, and more. In fact, now you can get Domino's delivered to over 150,000 unexpected outdoor locations. No address required. And now choose any two or more medium two-topping pizzas for just $5.99 each. Two-item minimum. Handmade pan pizzas will be extra. Ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit Domino's.com for details on Domino's Hotspots. Your Houston-area Domino's pizza locations are now hiring for all positions. They offer flexible schedules and cash tips paid daily. For details and to apply, visit your local Domino's store or online at jobs.domino's.com.